Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third verse of 1 Peter 1. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I'm going to begin talking about this tonight, Lord willing. We'll get as far as we can and possibly continue on next week, should the Lord will it. But let me talk to you for the next few moments and help us to understand revealed in the last time. Revealed in the last time. Father, I pray. Pray with me now. God, that you would anoint our minds, our hearts, our lives. Oh, God, I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the world, if they will hear. And I pray, God, that in your will and in your word, we would find our life founded on a daily basis. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would anoint every one of us. Baptize us with your Spirit. Baptize us, God, with your word. Wash us again by the water of your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you are love and you are mercy and you are grace. And I give you great thanks, God. And so, Lord, I pray this right now. Open our hearts and our minds and our lives to receive and to respond to the word of God, that we might be saved by it again. The word made flesh and dwelt among us. God, you are so good. And I give you praise now and thanks, Lord. Anoint me and anoint this people. Would you magnify God again with me one more time before you're seated? God, I praise you. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. When Paul was writing to the church in the book of Romans, he referenced in the 8th chapter, if you would turn this down for me just a little bit, Taylor, I don't know where I've lost it to, but turn this down just for a little bit for me, it's got a little feedback. When Paul was writing to the church in the book of Romans, he referenced in the 8th chapter and the 27th verse that God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, look at this, if you would, please. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It was the verse that followed where he had just spoke of, where the Spirit makes intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered, because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. He was implying that we, you and I still have just a little bit of ring on this, if you would, Taylor, on the low end. He was implying that we, you and I, often do not know what to pray for or how to pray. We fail to perceive how the prayer should be, what should be prayed about, how it should be prayed for. We struggle with discerning, in other words, what is right and what is wrong. What is the will of God? What is not the will of God? What the purpose is, what the plan is. We struggle in our mind and in our spirit. The conflict between our flesh and spirit fogs the way, if you would, as to what direction is correct. Just as when it said in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 12th verse, that now we see through a glass darkly. That is how we see for now. You understand? Go back and read this sometime, and I'm going to read it tonight, but go back and read this. It says, for now, we see through a glass darkly. That's how we see for now, but it will not always be that way, but it is for now. Right now, we struggle because we see for now through this lens, this glass of life, of flesh, this veil of flesh, darkly. It's somewhat obscured. But Paul did not leave us in that bewildered state, not knowing how to pray, lacking the ability to perceive things spiritually. For he said, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is going on in that thinking place of you and I. Everybody hear me on this right now. Because in all truth, this is where we are all living right now. He knows what is going on in the thought process of our mind, and we cannot underestimate. I feel very anointed about this, and I pray that you hear what the word is saying. We cannot underestimate the influence and the impact of the onslaught and the spiritual warfare that is taking place in the hearts and the minds, the mind of the spirit of the people of God. He didn't leave us in a place of ignorance, and he wanted us to know that God knows. That place where the thoughts and our soul are so tightly and intricately woven together, the mind of the spirit of the mind, and the place of perplexity and conflict, the place of hope and desire, the place of fear and faith, all crowding for room in our mind and spirit at any given point in time. That's who we are. That's what we're feeling right now. This onslaught, this overwhelming, this crowding, trying to get a foothold, trying to get real estate in the way we think and the way we feel, and it's determining how many people are finding victory or defeat in their life. I don't know about you, but if I could get my thoughts always right, then the rest of this living for God in faith would be a lot easier. Now, you may have it all down. That's not a COVID cough, by the way. That's just a dry throat up here. I feel like I need to qualify that every time I sneeze and cough in public. If I could just get my thoughts right, if I could just get my thinking right, if I could just get them in that vein and that track and that groove and get them to stick and stay there, then this living for God, it'd be a whole lot different. The battle going on in the mind is a landscape that is being laid siege to on a daily basis, and right now it is fierce. All it takes is a phone call or seeing someone walking towards you or knowing at a certain time of day that there, at that moment of the day, that mountain that you face daily will in fact be there that day at that time. And all of a sudden, the shots start being fired and temptation starts raising their ugly head, and once again, the conflict happens and we feel it in our mind. Right. You may have had just a barn burner of a Sunday the day before, and then on Monday you can find yourself dealing with something, getting a phone call, seeing that person that you don't want to see, hearing that thing you don't want to hear, and all of a sudden everything that happened on Sunday just feels like it's canceled out on Monday. Because that's who we are in our mind. We can feel spiritual one minute and we can be carnal the next. We all battle with it. Nobody's exempt. Man in the pulpit, everybody in the pew, we're all feeling it. And right now, I feel that I must tell you, and I think you recognize that the battle that is being waged is as fierce as it ever has been, because the word told us that there would come that time in the end time that the enemy would attempt to wear down the saints of the Most High. And it's through that continual wearing, that continual bombardment, that continual onslaught that we feel the weakening of the mind slipping into carnality and carnal thoughts, and we struggle to think spiritually. Because we are not ruled by, everybody now stick with me on this when I say this, we are not ruled by a limited law of the land. We are to be governed by the higher law of the Spirit. And it's difficult for us to bring ourselves under subjection to the Spirit, because the flesh rebels and it resists and we don't want to deal with it. We want to escape. We want to run away. That's why David said, if I could just fly away. But flying away doesn't get the flesh away. Amen. The difficulties are still there. We have to learn to depend upon the Spirit. James said this. Look at this. My brethren, count it all joy. Stick with me on this verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. excuse me. It's a rare thing to hear someone say with a smile on their face and a testimony in their talk, you don't have somebody come up to you and say, you know, I just want to tell you how joyful I am that I was tempted today. I have never had anybody come up to me and say that. I just want to tell you that I just had the best time of my life in the most worst temptation that I have ever faced. I was tempted to cuss. I was tempted to get mad, slam the door, steal, tell a lie. And I am just so, so joyful about it. The list could go on. No one ever says that. Nobody's ever happy about temptation, but it is the needed response nonetheless, for it is only through the enduring of temptations that our faith is tried and patience is produced, and we find ourselves on the other side wanting nothing. Do we understand that? On this side, we will always come up short. On this side of the temptation, when we are facing it, we will always come up short. It will be inadequate within our flesh. But on the other side, we will find ourselves on the other side joyful. Yes. When we resist the temptation and we submit the thought process to God and we trust in Him and we find ourselves wanting nothing. It's no longer inadequate. We're no longer weak, but we are strong because we enter. If there was never that temptation, that conflict in the mind of our spirit, then we would never be able to find ourselves completely trusting in God and wanting nothing. If you were never tempted, if you were never put to the place where the test was presented to you, then we would never be able to understand the keeping power and grace of the Spirit. Because I will repeat to you again what I have said before, that grace is not the passive overlook of God, of our frailties, but grace is the enabling of God to live above and beyond the temptations of life, that God wants to give you grace to endure and to be victorious, not just to barely get by. My, it feels as if we are in a time in the last times, as I'm getting ready to read again here and where we take our title from. It feels as if we are in the last times, where we are going to have to learn to lean not to our own understanding, but to trust in Him in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and know that in fact He will direct our paths. Because we are in territory of the Spirit. And I'm not just talking about COVID and all that business. I don't want to get distracted with that. But there's something deep within my spirit that tells me we are in a time, a territory, a landscape that we have never negotiated before in the church. We are experiencing, sensing, feeling, recognizing things that have never been before. And so it must be that we acknowledge Him in all our ways and He will direct our paths. We cannot lean to our own understanding because our understanding is limited at best. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter, if you would please. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, walk with me. There should be little question in each of us that we are in experiencing, feeling the moments of the last time. There should be little question. If you have not come to this recognition or realization, you need to come to it now. There should be the recognition within your spirit that we are living in the last time. We are living in the end time, in other words. This particular wording in Peter was the last time, but it's synonymous with the end time. We are seeing things revealed in us and around us in the last time. Saying of God, we are living in the end time.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
I'm going to repeat it again. Saying of God, we are living in the end time. Come on, now, granted, you can read the headlines, you can look at the news, you can see world events, calamities and chaos all around us, and no doubt that will give you a reading on the thermostat to know what the temperature around us is. But it should be even more so that you and I, the people of God, the people of the Spirit of God, those filled with the Holy Ghost, those called by His name, should be able to sense within our spirit that it doesn't take a headline or it doesn't take a news feed for us to have a spiritual recognition. There should be something within our heart, within the mind of the Spirit. We're still talking about the mind of the Spirit. There should be something within us that recognizes the revelation that we are in the last time. I really believe that. I've said it for years and I still believe it. While we don't know the day or the hour, I do not believe that the church will be caught unawares. I believe that you and I, the church, like Noah, was recognizing that there was a time to get in the ark. It ought to be that we recognize it's time to get in the ark. There should be something, a quickening within the Holy Ghost, within our spirit, that we recognize that this is the time to have a proximity in the Holy Ghost and with the Word of God and a relationship with the Spirit like never before. Amen. Because I don't believe that we're in the finality of it, but I do believe we are in the throes of it. And so thereby, it ought to be that there's something that's moving within us that says, I've got to be ready. And so there should be little question in each of us that we are experiencing the feeling the last time. Have you put your finger on the pulse of the Spirit as of late to look around and to see and to know that there are so many things pointing us to look to Jesus, our salvation, and not to this world? I sense it in the Holy Ghost. I sense it in the Spirit. I'm trying to give a call tonight in God. There should be that recognition if you're really feeling the pulse of the Holy Ghost that's telling you to stop looking to the world and the things of the world for the cues and the answers for our life, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I cannot look at it just being the author, the beginning of it, but now I have to look with a great clarity that he is now the finisher of my faith, of your faith, that he has brought us to this point, and he who has begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't feel like that the church is on her last leg. I don't feel like that you and I are just barely slipping into heaven. And I don't think that we're just barely crawling to church. No, no. I think the church should rise up boldly. And I think you and I who have the message of hope should look a lost world in the eye and remind them that Jesus is still the answer for everything that they're going through and everything that they're feeling and everything that they're... Come on. You and I have the hope in this last time. I'm not going to tuck my tail and run and hang my head and hide, but I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus and recognize, no, life is not perfect. And no, the world is different. I understand it, but I have a God that is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Anything that I face, my God is greater than that which I face. On, hallelujah. Amen. We have lived for so long in our country and our culture, somewhat insulated in our comfort, that we did not feel its impact. It's been around, it's been in our world, it's been there, but nonetheless, because we have been so insulated with convenience and comfort and prosperity, we have not felt it. But now, it's touching our lives here in our culture, in our country, a little more personally than it has in the past. There has been others that have felt it prior to us. But now you and I are feeling it. We're feeling it firsthand instead of just reading it on a headline or seeing it in a picture. And no doubt we have yet to see the full revelation of this ultimate plan and purpose of God that's at work. Because I do believe, if we understand this scripture, that it is a revealing in the last time. The word said we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That word kept reveals two things. Everybody stick with me on this. That word kept reveals two things about this. There is something, first of all, there is danger and there is deliverance. When he said that we are kept by the word of God, it is saying that there is something, some danger, something that opposes God that we are being kept from, or it is being kept from us. Perilous times, the word said, would come in this end time. Dangerous times, one translation said. So there is a particular danger that you and I, the blood-bought church, are being kept from, or it is being kept from us. But yet there is also deliverance that's implied by that word kept. There's deliverance that we are kept for. The promise of escape, the hope of heaven, and heaven's hope. We are his peculiar people, a peculiar treasure in the hand of God. Do you understand this? But even though there is the danger that we are being kept from, or that is being kept from us, and there is the promise of deliverance that we are being kept for, sealed. Come on, I'm just preaching the word tonight. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. Amen. We are being kept. Even though that is the implication of that, it's all a part of the process to be revealed, to be unfolded in the last time, or the last days, or the end time. Everybody understand this? Say amen. That's why there is the struggle in the mind of the Spirit within each of us. That's why we're feeling the way that we feel for now. For now, we're still seeing through a glass darkly. I don't know about you. I have prayed this prayer many times over the past few months. I have thought this thought many times over the past few months. I don't see clearly. I don't understand it all for now. I don't get it all right now. But I'm trusting God that through the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power and the authority of his word, by the power and the authority of his name, by the power and the authority of his blood, I am being kept unto that day of Jesus Christ. That God is keeping some things from me, and God is keeping me from some things. He's going to deliver you and I from the dangers of the day, and he's going to deliver us unto heaven for that hope that we live for. I'm trying to tell somebody tonight, if you're struggling in your mind, you need to get it settled right here and right now that God is for you, God is keeping you, and God is going to save you when you live for him and you have his name and you have his blood. Somebody ought to praise him for that right now. We don't know all that's going on. No, we don't. We don't know all that's going on, but we do know the one that does know what's going on. And the truth of the matter is, I just want to stand on in this pulpit tonight and say, I am so thankful that I don't know all that's going on. I don't have all the answers. And part two, I don't need all the answers, but I do need this. I do need Jesus Christ. And I do need that hope that he brings through the word. And I do need to find my life in it. And I do need to pray about it. And I do need to live it more than I live anything else. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He knows. And he's the hope and the savior of the world. The guarding of our mind and spirit right now is of the utmost importance. I want to send this out, and please hear me. The guarding of your mind is of the utmost importance. The guarding of your spirit. Because the more of the world that we put into it, the more clouded our perception of spirit will be. The more that I digest the world, the more that I put in the world, the more that I think on these things, the more that I allow the influence and the impact of the world to come in and to be in my thought process, the more I get clouded about the things of the Spirit, the less I see of the things of God. And I begin to, hear me, be careful about this, I begin to carnalize spiritual things. Wow. And I begin to make them fit the mold of the flesh. Yeah. And I find myself rebelling against Romans 12. Instead of being conformed, I transform the Spirit. I make my spirit fit into the world instead of me fitting into the Spirit of God. I'm being transformed by the renewing of what, somebody? Renewing of our mind, our mind. We have to guard our mind. Somebody hear me right now, please. We need to guard our mind and our spirit. It needs to be a daily vigilance that we keep, that we are watching what gets into the thought process of who we are. The more of the word and the more of prayer that we place there, the more peace in the process and the future in God that we will have. The more that I find myself praying, the more that you find yourself in the Word of God, the more that you're taking time out and reserving time that you can sit and be quiet and talk to God. Come on, we live in a very, very, very noisy world right now. Don't we? We live in a very noisy time right now, and there are many voices going on. And none of them is without distinction, the Bible tells us. There's a purpose behind them. There is an agenda behind it. The prince and power of the air is at work. We are living in the last time. And so there is that onslaught of the enemy that's coming against us. So it must be, it cannot be casual Christianity as usual. It cannot be, somebody hear this right now. It cannot be that we just go through the motions and the mentality that we have often been accustomed to and acclimated to within the church. I believe that there is a call of the Spirit that is asking us to come to the place to where our thoughts are godly, to where we are kept by the power of the Word of God, and we understand that God has a purpose in it all, and it's going to be revealed in us. It is going to be revealed through us. Stick with me on this, and I'm almost done. There is a revelatory work that's happening right now, and it is not just being revealed in the world or in the headlines, in other words. This is something I think that that sometimes we misunderstand, or at least we misinterpret within the word. I believe there's a revelatory work that is happening in this last time, and we're seeing it. There are many things that we should recognize. But it is being revealed not just in the headlines or not just in the temperament or the tone of the world, but it is being revealed in the hearts and the homes of the church. I believe just as much as there should be a recognition, everybody understanding where I'm at right now, because this is critical to understand in the last part of this message. It is not just that we look to the world as the gauge of what is or is not a determining and a defining and a revelatory work in the end time. We can look at those things that we can see in the word, what Matthew tells us in 24, and we can look at other things that we were told that we're going to be in. We can say, in fact, those things are happening all around us, the calamities, the chaos, the world situation. We can sense it, we can feel it, we know it, we can read it. But what we fail to go on and read and understand that God did not mean for just the world and all of its events that surround it to be the thing that revealed that we are in the last time. And if we understand what we read in this particular verse, it's being revealed as well in the hearts and in the homes of the church. It's revealing what we are made of. What is it that is really in our spirit? The core, in other words, of who we are. I believe God's looking to the church because he's not coming back for a church that has not prepared herself. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a church that has determined that she will prepare herself for the return of the one that she loves. So if that be the case, the five wives and the five foolish virgins, there was ones that took the oil, there were those that did not. Have we prepared our lamp? Is there something illuminating in our life that is revealing the return of the bridegroom? Is there something that's being revealed in this last time? Look at this in Corinthians, if you would please. Every man's work shall be made manifest. I preached on this a few months back. For the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What is at work will be made manifest. What is at work, in other words? What is it going on in us will be made manifest, rest assured. The last times, according to what we read in 1 Peter just a moment ago, the last times will reveal what is within us. The last times will reveal what is at work in the world. The last times are going to reveal what we are made of. Do you understand this? It's not just the headlines that we look to saying, well, that's pointing to the return of the Lord, that's pointing to the end time. I believe that God is looking to the church and saying, what's being revealed in you through all this? What is this that's coming to the surface in you? Is there a burden for the lost? Is there a proximity with me? Where's your prayer life? And where's the book? And where's the word? And where are the things of God that were once a priority? Why? Because God is not coming back for a church that is ashamed of him. He's coming back for somebody that loves him and somebody that's looking for him and somebody that's desiring him. It's revealing. With each progressive step of the Spirit that is leading us to the day of the rapture, there will be things that are continually revealed in this last time. And that's why I say, I don't think we're through it. I don't think we've seen the complete unfolding, if you would, of these things. I don't think we have seen, I think we have seen things. And yes, I think we are experiencing things. And in fact, I think that you are recognizing that. But I don't think we have seen the full revealing of this last time. And so thereby, this is not a time for us to be of those, as the word said, who draw back. Because he has no pleasure in those who draw back. This is not a time that we hesitate because we're apprehensive or fearful. Because can I tell you, it should be that if I'm preaching about this, there should be, just because I'm preaching about this, there should be a comfort in our hearts. Isn't that what the word says? Yeah. Comfort one another with these words. Lord, he'll descend with a shout. The trump of God shall sound, and we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to meet them in the air, those dead in Christ. Amen. You hear me? Do you believe in the rapture tonight? Do you believe in the return of the Lord? Amen. Because church, can I tell you, on a Wednesday or on a Sunday or whatever day or night it might be, it's not about us just getting together and feeling good about it. It's about the ultimate heaven that we're going to gain. It's about the fact that one of these days I may be driving down the road should the Lord tarry and I'm allowed to live, and all of a sudden I'll be there and the next second I'll be gone. That trump of God's going to sound and we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. I don't know about you, but that's why I'm here tonight. That's why I'm living this. That's why I'm believing this, because I've got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I've got a hope in Jesus Christ. Come on, this is not just getting together singing. This is not a song fest. No, it's not a sing-along. This is about me making it to heaven. This is about you making it to heaven. This is about you recognizing that this world is not our home. I want my mind to be right. I want my mind to be right. I want my mind to be right. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody magnify this great God we serve. Hallelujah. Come on, every breath you breathe, every step you take, it's one day closer to heaven. Yeah. And that shouldn't bother you one bit. As a matter of fact, it ought to be something within your spirit that says, oh, I'm that much closer home. I've got a hope that's not built in this world. Come on, don't let it bother you. Let it propel you to Jesus. Clap your hands. Would you do that in praise? And it cannot be that we're all living in fear and confusion and running to this or that and buying into a world that will not last. We look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. We look to the one who has kept us and who will keep us. He will deliver us from danger. I believe that. I trust in my God. You're saying I'm not going to have any opposition. It's not going to be. No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just telling you that no matter what comes against you, you're in the hands of a living God. And he loves you so much that he's going to keep you. Come on, Elder Saint in this house right now. Has he kept you? He's kept you a long time. Is he going to keep you? He's going to keep you all the way to the end. And you don't have to fear or wonder or worry because God is going to love you all the way through every difficulty. One more scripture and I'm done. It says this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. We're talking about the rapture now. That ye be not soon shaken. Yes. Everybody say it. In mind. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Yes. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be soon shaken in your mind. Yes. We don't have to be troubled. Yes. We're in the hands of a living God. We're in the hands of a loving God. He's not going to let you down. Musicians, come on up here with me if you would, please. He's not going to let you and I down. All you've got to do is look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. Are you preaching about the rapture? I hope you got that by now. Amen. We've got a God that's going to return for us and take us home to be with him. And that should not frighten us. That should not make us feel bad. Come on, you shouldn't be regretting, well, I didn't get to do this or I didn't get to do that or I didn't get to go there. I didn't get a bit. No. You ought to be looking up and say, oh, thank God. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Anybody feel that way? This is why we live this life. This is the hope that we have in eternity. Come on, somebody stand up and tell him, oh God, I'm looking for your return. Oh God, I'm looking for that blessed hope. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice right now. Oh, let God know that you love him enough that you want him to come back for you. That you're looking for his return. That day's not gonna catch you unawares. But your mind is going to be made up. Hallelujah. Come on, magnify him. I love you, Jesus. Oh, you're good God. You're good God. You're good God. You are faithful. You are just. You are eternal. You are alive. And God, you promised us, as they seen you go, you're going to come again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody magnify him with me. Our soon coming King. Hallelujah. Come on, he's going to keep your mind.